I'm Burr Grogan. I'm the Policy and Research Manager in Mental Health Reform.
Burr, can you tell me a little bit about the work that you do?
Yeah, I'd be delighted. So policy and research is a really important part in charities, and obviously we're the National Mental Health Coalition. So we do a lot of work with the government, with the HSE, internationally, looking at best practice, looking at evidence-based practice. So, for example, the reform of the Mental Health Act is a big thing that's happening at the moment. So we would have taken part in some of the processes in the Oireachtas with putting in our suggestions. We'd got a human rights analysis done on the heads of bill, and we'd be trying to make politicians and policymakers aware of that information. So that's a big priority for us, and hopefully there's going to be movement on that this year. We've done some work on the Assisted Decision Making Capacity Act as well. That was a big thing last year, around decision making supports for people with disabilities, or for everyone who might need future planning for their healthcare. And we're doing a research piece on mental health services and supports in prisons. We've previously done stuff around, you know, the service user experience, so people with mental health difficulties and how they have found their mental health services and support across the country and across the services. So trying to get the voice of people and our members to the policymakers.
You touched on some of the areas that you're advocating in. What are some of the always on issues that you have to be across in terms of policy and advocacy?
I think a big thing lately, or in the last couple of years, has been around the child and adolescent mental health services. So we've seen a couple of damning reports into the CAMHS, you know, the over-medicalisation and maybe lack of clinical oversight in some areas, as well as obviously, you know, we always acknowledge the good work that has been done in some areas, but there's been a particular spotlight on children and adolescent mental health. And the other piece is the legislative frameworks around mental health and then disability, trying to raise awareness of the fact that people with enduring mental health difficulties have psychosocial disabilities and therefore have rights under the equality legislation. You know, if you're discriminated against because of your mental health difficulty, you know, you have rights under equality legislation and under the UNCRPD, the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So we're trying the last couple of years to be much more visible in the disability space and reminding, you know, kind of popping up, reminding people that mental health is psychosocial disabilities. You know, it's not one or the other. So the priority pieces of policy and advocacy that we do include calling for accountability at HSE levels, at the government levels. We have the National Mental Health Policy Sharing the Vision. There is an implementation plan. So, you know, sometimes we're involved in working groups of some of those recommendations. For example, at the moment we're working on the advocacy working group, which is looking at kind of the gap analysis and needs across the country of advocacy services. So there's lots of things to kind of keep checking in on and keep making sure that the HSE and the government are moving ahead with things. Budget is a big thing. There's significant underinvestment in mental health and disabilities across the sector. We would be looking for double the investment in mental health. At the moment, it's kind of goes between 5-6% of the overall health budget, and it should be at least 10-12%. So, you know, of course the services aren't working if there's underinvestment.
Burr, you mentioned the UNCRPD, and we know that this month is the 5th anniversary of Ireland's ratification of UNCRPD. Where does that factor into your work?
We're definitely trying to talk about the UNCRPD a lot more and to keep reminding people that mental health is included under the UNCRPD, and using terminology around psychosocial disabilities. We still find that sometimes they're seen in isolation. You know, it's like someone has a disability or someone has a mental health difficulty. There still seems to be, you know, people trying to fit people into boxes, you know, and we're really talking about the intersectionality of humans, of people. You know, you can have a physical disability and a mental health difficulty and be a member of the LGBTQI+ community. You know, it's trying to get people to when I say people, like the systems really to be flexible and take that holistic view and really to try and inform people of their rights. And we've done some training and capacity building. We've done a short guide on the UNCRPD, an easy to read guide focusing specifically on mental health. And as part of the month to recognise the fifth anniversary, we are going to be launching our guide to effective consultation of people with psychosocial disabilities, as well as doing a webinar on the Assisted Decision Making Capacity Act and mental health. So we're really trying to capitalise on the kind of the awareness around the fifth anniversary with a number of events that will link in with psychosocial disabilities.
You mentioned there the lived experience of people with mental health difficulties, and how much of your work in policy and advocacy cuts across that lived experience?
We really try to amplify the voices of lived experience as much as possible. One of the challenges that we have is the stigma and discrimination around people speaking out and sharing their stories. Also the burnout that people have. That's what's, you know, last year there were a lot of people speaking out about their experiences around the assisted decision making piece, and you know, weren't listened to or felt like they weren't listened to. And that's a danger, is that you want to enable people to speak out, but you don't want them to be re-traumatized in any way, or to feel like they're not being heard. So we try to do a couple of kind of creative ways of, you know, maybe surveys and letting people send us in stories anonymously, and maybe someone else will be reading them out. But this year we have a grassroots forum that is made up of people with lived experience, and we're going to be running a recruitment campaign to try and grow the number of people. And we're just really hoping that the more society becomes accepting of people with mental health difficulties, the kind of the safer spaces there will be for people to share their stories. And as it is, you know, we do a lot of, you know, we'll do all the kind of prep if media are looking for someone with a story of lived experience. You know, you check in afterwards, you check in during. We really try to support in whatever way we can, because you'll know as well from in DFI, you know, the media want personal stories, but the personal stories can be so difficult, or maybe the person hasn't told family members or work or friends, you know, so there's a lot to consider in it. But there's stuff that the government could do to make spaces safer for people to share their stories around kind of discrimination in access and services, whether that's insurance or mortgage protection and things like that. And then having some sort of remuneration for if people are giving up their time to speak at conferences and take part in research and surveys and focus groups and everything, but they're not getting anything for it. It's unpaid labor, that, you know, so you're asking people to retell their stories consistently, which is draining for them, and then not being able to provide any sort of kind of payment or anything for that. So there's things that the government could do better, which it's obliged to do under the UNCRPD, under Article 4.3. You know, they have to consult with people with lived experience in policy development. And it's funny because that says, you know, in with things to do with the UNCRPD. But the UNCRPD is about your right to accommodation, to participation, to education, to health. So it's everything, you know. So I think sometimes the UNCRPD can sound like something kind of far away in the distance, but it's actually affects all of government, and all of government is responsible for implementing it.